Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from englishwithkirsty.com. I'm Kirsty, and I support multilingual professionals to discover their voice in English. On the podcast, we talk about language, learning, and intentional communication. We hear about my guests' language journeys and share tips that help you communicate in a way that makes sense and sounds like you. Hi everyone, and welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. And today we have another guest episode. So welcome, Gabriella. It's nice to meet you.
Hi, Kirsty. It's my pleasure meeting you. Thank you.
It's great to chat with you again. We started talking on LinkedIn, where all my recent conversations happen these days. And I was interested, we started talking about languages and our experiences with languages. And then that conversation led us on to a discussion which made me think that it would be really good to speak together on the podcast. So that's why Gabriella's here. Maybe first of all, you could start by telling people a bit about who you are, so where your interest in other languages started and what you're doing now.
Of course. Well, as you said, my name is Gabriella, and I've been working as a Spanish interpreter for the last 10 years. Remotely from Mexico. I live in Northwest Mexico in a state that's called Sonora. And I think my interest in languages, specifically in the English language, started when I was very young. You see, my father used to live in the United States when he was young. And during conversations, sometimes he would throw in English word here and there. So that started, I believe, sparking curiosity in my mind and planting a little seed. So that stuck with me. And later on, as a teenager, I became very interested in music in English. You know, it's the 2000s, and I love hearing and listening to music in English. So I always wanted to understand what the lyrics meant. So back in the day, I would grab a physical dictionary and I would start translating the lyrics by myself. And it became naturally, or it kind of was easy for me. I don't know why. It came naturally, as I said. And little by little, I started learning words here and there, sentences. And they stuck with me. So a little that I knew, I understood a lot by the time that I became an adult. And I continued watching shows and listening to the content and music in English. So I noticed that I was understanding pretty much everything. And later on in life, I had to start working, and I had the opportunity to work as a customer service representative over the phone. And that helped me a lot to develop my fluency in English, to practice speaking and conversations. So I got to a point that I had to choose a path in life, and I wanted to make the best out of my skills, what I knew at the time, and I wanted to have something that was, that I had the freedom to do what I wanted. So at the time, working remotely or working from home wasn't a thing really, at least not in my country, or not that I knew of. But I found out that there was a chance to become an interpreter and to work from your home office. So I became very interested in that path. And that's how I started pursuing it. I made the decision, I took the training, I started working, and I believe that's what aligned the best with what I wanted to do which was the having that freedom and that kind of compensation that I was giving at the time.
Did you think that's changed much? Like, because obviously a lot of things happened during the pandemic, and things went online that weren't online before. But did you start before this time? Or
Yes.
was it okay? So that was already available as an option to work remotely and provide interpreting services online. That was already a thing before lots of other things went
Before,
online.
right, before the pandemic, I found out about remote interpreting from home around 2014. And I took a test at the time, but I didn't pass at the time. I was very nervous. I wasn't prepared enough, let's say. But I continued working on it and preparing myself. And then I took the test and the training again on 2016. And that's when I passed and I started working as an interpreter. And yes, it has been available way before the pandemic.
Okay, so when you passed this test, that must have been a great moment and a proud moment and a happy moment to get through and to then be able to start working. But when you do that, do you choose which kind of areas you support people in, or can your day be like a mixture of different situations? How much do you choose what kind of situations you're interpreting in?
At the time, I didn't have any say on that. I was hired as a customer service interpreter, as many of the Mexican interpreters are, and when we start first. So customer service is like its name says, for many different kind of customer service, for utilities, for cable, any kind of service that you can imagine that people call to ask for assistance. And that's what the kind of interactions that we were getting at the time. A little bit of medical here and there, but not very complex, like maybe intakes, something like that. And a little bit of legal as well, legal interactions, like a police officer stopping someone on the road, something like that, but not too specialized. And then about 6 months into working at that company, the opportunity of becoming specialized for a medical interpreter became available. And of course, I took it because I am very much interested in those subjects. I really like biology and the medical and health care sciences, all of that. So, yes, I took it. I took another training for that, of course. I passed another test for that, of course. And that's how I became specialized in medical terminology. And I started getting calls that are more specialized in any kind of health care interactions that you can imagine, from cardiology, neurology, a lot of things.
So I guess some of these things are planned if people are like intending to have a medical procedure done, then they know about that. But I guess some of them are also not planned, like if there's an accident or so. I guess some of it can be quite difficult in terms of quite emotional. People are worried, maybe they're scared. Do you get training for that as well, or is that more your own people skills coming in there? Like, how do you manage those more emotionally difficult situations?
Well, in my case, I don't feel like I had big training or a lot of training for that. I feel it came about on the practice. I mean, that can be very difficult because you have to find a balance in between being empathetic towards that person's situation, but also not becoming too attached, because that certainly can take a toll on your own mental health and even physical health. So it is quite challenging, and that is something that I believe you'll learn with time and practice. And of course, this is not a job for everyone. Some people just can't, and they have to change their path because it's not for them. But some of us really are able to adapt and really surpass those things and just keep servicing the people that need the service.
Yeah, so would you say that most of your work these days is medical interpreting, or do you do other types as well?
I do other types as well. I do medical, but I also do legal. I've been participating lately in unemployment hearings. It's like an appeal when people request an unemployment benefit, and then they get denied and they disagree with that denial. So they have to appeal, and there's a hearing conducted. So it can be challenging as well because there are many people present. It's an examiner, the claimant, and their counselors, the employer. So it's a lot of people, and it can be very challenging, as I said. You have to interpret everything from ev for everyone, and sometimes they take 3 hours in the hearing. So yes, it's tiresome, but at the same time, it's very fulfilling that you're able to help someone in need in that kind of situation.
So it's making sure that their words are understood, but also that they understand what's happening to them and what's being said in relation to their case. Because when we were talking on LinkedIn before, we were talking about you were talking about access to information and how many of these situations are like really important for people, whether it's medical, whether it's about their future and the benefits. These are big kind of life decisions in a way that will affect them, and how important it is that people have access to the services that they need to understand what's happening to them or around them. Do you think people are always aware of the services that are there for them? Is it does the system work so that they just get it if they need it, or do you think there is still some education to be done in terms of people realizing what support is available?
I believe that not all the people are aware. Many people have no idea that they have the right to have an interpreter. And at least in the United States, it used to be for free of cost for them. Recently, there have been some changes to those laws, unfortunately, for the worst for some people. When they declared the English language as the official language, and some laws changed. I'm not sure. I believe that for healthcare, it's still the case. It's still, they have the right to have an interpreter and someone to speak in their language at all times, for free of cost for the patient. But I'm not sure that it's the case for some other fields. And some people, especially immigrants that recently arrived to the United States or the foreign country, don't know that they can request someone to help them with the language. And many of them are under the impression that they have to bring their own interpreter or they have to figure it out themselves and however they can. So yes, there is a lot to do in terms of that awareness and education for the people that need the language services.
Yeah, and I guess that's really hard if people think that they need to bring their own interpreters. I know like some of my friends who, when they were younger, because their parents didn't speak the language of where they were living, that the children were doing their best and they were taking their children. That's a lot of responsibility for a child. They want to do their best, but you know, they're not trained and they're a child. So I guess that's can make it really difficult in situations where people think they have to find someone themselves and don't realize that an interpreter could be available for them.
That is correct, and that is a very heavy weight on the shoulders of a child. It shouldn't be like that, to be honest. When it comes to casual interaction, casual conversations, it can be, and it helps them develop those skills as well. It's not easy. It's not only being bilingual, but you have to have the ability to actually translate and change or understand the meaning, and to convey the same meaning in the other language. So it's not that easy. Sometimes, as I said, it can be good that they practice, but not in a setting that's very important, like a healthcare appointment or a legal thing, something like that. It shouldn't be like that. People should be made aware that they have the right to have someone, a professional interpreter, help them.
Yeah, definitely. And so in terms of your role, had you considered other types of interpreting before? I mean, obviously at the time when you were doing this, not all of the types of interpreting were available as jobs to be done online. I guess there is a bit more use of online technology now than when you started, but had you considered other types of situations where you could interpret, or would you like to add new specializations now, or do you want to stick with what you have and focus on the areas that you're working in at the moment?
Honestly, no. At the time, I didn't even know that other modalities of interpreting existed. I just didn't know. So now I know. After a long time, I learned that there are some other modalities, and of course, I am interested in getting the training and the education that's required and needed to be able to be, for instance, a simultaneous interpreter and a conference interpreter. And so yes, that's very interesting. I really would like to do that, to upgrade my skills and to have different opportunities, or even more opportunities to do some different things.
It's lifelong learning, like lots of opportunities around, and I guess it's seeing what you enjoy and what you find fulfilling and what you want to do more of. And because we have talked about some of the harder parts of the role, like the emotions or the difficult situations, but what is your favorite part of your job? What is it that keeps you going? What do you enjoy doing
Of
most?
course, it is, as you said, it's a lifelong learning. I love that I've learned something new pretty much every day when it comes to language. I love that it's very dynamic. You never know what the next interaction is going to be about. You never know what's next, and you never get bored. I am someone that tends to get bored with repetitive tasks or very tedious things. So this is not like that at all. It's, as I said, it's very dynamic. And also I like, well, the freedom that I have, because I am a mother, and we need to work and a parent at the same time. So sometimes I will need to have some flexibility and some freedom to leave earlier, or to just not log in for any situation that came up. So I love that I have that chance and what I currently do.
As some things, I understand that if you log in and then you're available to take the calls that come on that day at that time. But if it's something like a hearing, do you get more time to prepare for that, or do you just like turn up and then have to work with the information that you have without seeing a lot of documents and information before? Is it all completely spontaneous, or are there some like bigger cases or hearings where you do have a bit more time to prepare?
Both.
Okay.
Sometimes it's the call that comes in and you don't know what it is about, and it turns out to be a hearing for 3 hours. Sometimes it's and you never get anything in advance, like any documents. You don't review anything. You just go along with
Okay.
the flow. You just start interpreting whatever it's being said. Sometimes you don't even understand what's going on because you don't have all the context. But as you go on, you start to understand. Sometimes there are some doubts as to what the subject is about because it's not being mentioned. It's like kind of they are avoiding mentioning some parts of the context, and you don't know what you're talking about, but you're just talking about it with them and helping them. And some other times we have pre-scheduled appointments when you are told in advance that you have to be there available at a certain time, so you have to join a meeting. Sometimes it's in video. You can see them, you can talk to them. And but no, we never have any documents to review or any other context. It's always just go with the flow, go along with the conversation.
So that's not going to be possible for everyone, I guess. It's like you need to be the kind of person who is spontaneous, who is adaptable, flexible, as well as having the language skills, somebody that needs like a lot of structure and to know exactly what's happening, right? That they're going to find that harder than somebody who's a bit more spontaneous.
Exactly. It is definitely not a job for everyone. Some people just can't adapt to those different things.
And so your training and a lot of work that you've done is on the telephone, and now there are some situations where you have the video as well. Do you find the video helps, or is it less important to you because you trained with audio only?
It definitely can be helpful because some communications or some parts of the communication are nonverbal. And when you're able to see the person and hear them speak, you can get cues as to the feelings or the severity of the situation. Many other things that speech doesn't convey. So it is helpful, but it can also be to detriment, to be honest with you. I don't recall right now a specific situation where it was of detriment, but it can be distracting, for instance. But I like both. At first, when we first started working as video interpreters, I didn't like it. I didn't like being seen, to be honest. But I had to adapt again, and I had to get used to it. And now I feel more comfortable with people seeing me. And it is a little bit more challenging for the body because you have to keep straight posture, and it takes a toll with the time. If you are taking only video calls all day, it takes a toll on your back because you have to stay stiff and you have to look upright all the time. And so it can be more difficult than just audio because you don't have the freedom to move your body at your convenience. And you have to be looking at a camera. Sometimes you have to have lights on your face in order to look better and to look appropriate for the video call. So it is more challenging than just audio.
Yeah, it's interesting that you don't just see the positive and negative sides. There's both, like with many things, I guess there's both. And it's a job where you're sitting down a lot at a desk, like many of us with desk jobs, and I guess the importance of taking those breaks and moving your body and taking care of yourself is also really important, so that you get enough movement and don't stay in the same position for too long.
Exactly. It is very important that we do some kind of stretching, some kind of moving, because I've heard recently a phrase that says motion is lotion, and it is true. You really have to get up and walk, otherwise you get all stiff and you lose practice on walking. Sometimes you are tripping on yourself.
Yeah, it's important to. I know it's you can't always decide in the same way that somebody who was, I don't know, writing documents could decide, but to make sure that you get those breaks and time away from the screen. And so, just coming towards the end now, for anyone who is either thinking of training to be an interpreter, who is training at the moment, or who would like to have a career change, there are people at lots of different stages in their career who listen to the podcast. But if this kind of work is something that people are interested in training to work in this field, what kind of tips or advice would you give to someone who's interested but hasn't started down this path yet?
I would tell them that they need to get the best education that they can get, that they need to work on thinking or defining the niche that they will be working on in order to build their glossaries or their terminology. And of course, learn it very well. They will have to learn to be very respectful, enough to detach themselves from their own biases, their own opinions, and to avoid interfering those from it, or keep those from interfering with other people's life. And of course that means that they have to follow the interpreter's code of ethics and guidelines to the T. And also I would tell them that they need to prepare themselves for the challenge because it is challenging. It's not very easy. Some people think that it's very easy because you're bilingual, because you know both languages, but it can be very hard at times.
And I guess it's not always like an upward curve. Like you could have a really good day and then a really difficult day, and that it's not always the more experience you get that the easier it gets, because you may come across a situation that you've never encountered before, and then that is a learning opportunity. But because every day is different, that's part of the job, that you don't know what's coming, and you're constantly learning, I guess.
Exactly. And it gives you the opportunity to learn something new every day. You have to keep your guard up at all times because you never know what can happen. One situation can turn into another, and you have to be ready. So you just buckle up for the ride.
And I guess you need to say, like, when you mentioned earlier that sometimes you don't know what's happening, like sometimes you're going to need to say that, otherwise like when the information will become apparent, and when you need to maybe stop proceedings or ask for clarification and have the confidence to do that, so that you can give your best and do your best work.
Sometimes you do have to ask for clarification or a little more information in order to do the most accurate interpretation that you can. But some other times, if it doesn't relate to what you are interpreting and they are just talking in between them and not telling you the subject or what's behind what they are saying, you just have to go along with it, even if you don't know. That happens many times. Sometimes you don't know what they are saying or what happened exactly, probably for confidentiality or privacy matters.
Okay.
They don't want to disclose it. So some if it doesn't pertain to doing an accurate interpretation, just you don't even ask.
It's knowing the difference and knowing what's relevant to you, and what you just have to let go and carry on.
Exactly.
And how about the, so you're working at home, you're working on the telephone. Are you involved with like Networking with other interpreters? Do you have an association that you're part of, or do you find ways to meet other interpreters, or?
I don't belong to any association other than being on LinkedIn and sometimes talking to people there and some knowing some colleagues that were my coworkers in some other companies. I know them because we had a Teams group and we were there. So that's how I got to know them, and I kept in contact with some of them through my own personal social media and Facebook. So they have some of them are my personal remote friends, like cyber friends, because I've never met them in person. But we became really good friends because we understand what we go through every day. We are going through something similar at work, and I love them dearly, some of my friends, but I know I don't belong to any association. That's a good idea, actually, that we should work on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't either, but I was just really asking kind of where you get your support as someone like who doesn't technically have colleagues when you're working for yourself, then you find support in other places, people you know, people who are doing the same thing. And so, like, obviously, not things that would breach any confidentiality, but if there are like questions about maybe about training or like, what would you do in this situation without any of the details, I think it's nice to have people that you can turn to and exchange ideas when you don't have any actual colleagues because you don't technically work for a company.
Exactly, and that's what we do when we have a question as to how would you say something, or how do you pronounce this word, this particular word yourself, or what would you do in this situation? Like you said, all those things are the questions that I relate to my colleague friends online.
Yeah, and that's nice, especially for those of us who work remotely to find our people and find people. You can get very, very good friends with people. Like when I think about my close friends, especially business friends, I haven't met most of them, but we know each other online. We met online and we talk a lot, and I think it's really good to have that human connection as well.
It is, of course.
And LinkedIn is good for that. Like people sometimes say things, quite negative things about LinkedIn, but I think it's like most things in life, it's what you make it. And if you find nice people and have nice things, nice people's content in your feed, I mean, obviously, yeah, everyone has a hard time or a hard day. I'm not saying we should only like false positivity is damaging, but we can find good people to communicate with on LinkedIn. And I will put your LinkedIn link in the show notes on the page about our episode so that if people want to connect with you, they can do that there. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we come to the end?
No, I just want to thank you for this opportunity. I feel honored that you reached out to me and that you invited me to your podcast. And it has been a great experience, and I really appreciate you.
Oh, it's been great to have you, and I think it's really important to use the podcast as a platform to help people to understand other careers that are available, and also to understand the importance of having access to information, like understandable information, especially at these times. I think we were talking about something I experienced when I was younger, when we were on holiday and somebody didn't have the right access to medical information, and what a big deal that is, and you don't really think about that until it happens to you or somebody that you know. And that's why I wanted to explore this with you, just because these are not just scenarios that could happen. They are things that do happen to real people, and how important it is to have people working in this area who are providing that service. So thank you for what you do. And yeah, if other people are listening to this and are potentially interested, then hopefully you have a bit more information now. And yeah, if there are any questions that come from the podcast as well, we will be posting this on LinkedIn, or there's a way to contact me through if you're listening on one of the other podcasting platforms. There are plenty of ways to contact me, and one of us, I'm not going to answer questions about this because it's not my field, but if you do have questions that arise from this episode, then let us know. You can find the podcast on LinkedIn too. So yeah, if it's made you curious or if you have questions, then do write them in the comments and we'll do our best.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the podcast and for sharing your experience with us, and yeah, wishing you all the best.
Same to you. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.